we'd open our Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19. And in continuing with the benefits that we have received by and through the Son of God, I would like to examine this morning the ninth benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in His Son. And that is that we are given a positive confession. We're given assurance. And so for our subject or our text for the subject this morning, if we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea." In other words, there is no vacillation concerning the Son of God, for in him is a positive assurance, in him is yea. For all the promises of God in him, and I want you to notice how the Apostle Paul places these promises of God. He tells us, all the promises of God that are in him, in Christ, are yea, and in him are amen. And we know Brother Ram told us the word amen means so be it. And he says, in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory, unto the doxa. And we know the doxa is the opinion assessment and opinion, or the opinion assessment judgment of God by us. Now he that established us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for the anointing, because as the Apostle John said, we have an anointing from the Holy One that we might know all things. So we know that the anointing is upon us, placed upon us, that we might know. And so, Father, we humbly thank you, Lord, for what you have given to us, and we ask your blessings upon the reading of this word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, last night we covered the subject on how that the Son of God has come to give us an understanding. And I thought perhaps I might go a little bit more into that today, but I just didn't feel led to do that. We may cover that another time, that becoming, how we become. But this morning we're going to look at this ninth promise from God to us, the promise that is fulfilled through His Son Jesus, and that is that all the promises of God are in Him are yea. That means they are yes. Not, well, God, you know, I have a need. You promised in your word this thing for me, and, you know, perhaps you'll give it. No, it's not what He said. He said they are all yes. Now, this anointing, and He says, now He which establishes us, He which establishes you, that's, you know, builds you up, sets you on higher ground, He is the same one that hath anointed us. He said that is Christ. I mean, that is God. Now He which establishes us in you, in Christ, with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God. Now this anointing is the same anointing that God gave to His Son Jesus. The word anointed here was translated from the Greek word krio, and it means to rub or smear with oil, and metaphorically it means to consecrate to an office or service. So we read, now He which establishes us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God. So we know then the anointing comes from God. Now, Luke uses this word in describing the way that God placed His own Son in the ministry. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recover of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Now, these are the words of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. And Jesus is letting us know that the Spirit of the Lord was upon Him. And He says, "He hath anointed me to preach the gospel." So Jesus had to be aware of when that anointing came. And He had to be aware because He said it. "He anointed me to preach the gospel." And again, Luke tells us what God anointed Jesus with in the book of Acts, chapter 10 and verse 37. He says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." And then we see Paul, or we hear Paul speak of this relationship that Jesus had with His Father, and how that God anointed His Son in Hebrews 1 and verse 9. "Thou hast loved righteousness," which is right wiseness, "and hated iniquity," that's to know to do right and you won't do it. "Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." So we see how God anointed Jesus Christ with the oil of gladness, even above thy fellows. And how could we be anointed with gladness to know that all the promises are in Him are yea? How could you not be anointed with gladness? How could you not be happy to know that the positive confession of God Himself is that all the promises of God are yea to you that are in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 1 verse 19 again, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in Him was yea." In Him was yea. In other words, Jesus Christ, as Brother Branham said, was the fulfillment of every promise of God to us. "For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now He which establishes us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God, who hath also sealed us, and given the earnest of the Spirit, of the Spirit, in our hearts." Now I would like to read our text from the New International Version, because it makes it a little bit, it flows a little bit better. In beginning verse 19, he says, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in Him it has always been yes." Not a negative confession coming forth concerning the Son of God, but always a positive confession. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you to stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. And from the Weymouth translation, we read, "For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He who was proclaimed among you by us, that is by Silas and Timothy and myself, did not show Himself a waverer between yes and no." In other words, you never saw any vacillation from the mouth of Jesus. But it was always a yes with Him. "For all the promises of God, whatever their number, have their confirmation in Him. And for this reason, through Him also, our amen acknowledges their truth and promotes the glory of God through our faith." So what's it all about? What are we talking about here this morning? We're talking about the very fact that in Christ, every single promise of God is assured. It's promised to us. It's yes. Not just, well, you know, that might be for somebody else. You know, there's 800 divine promises of God in the Bible for us. 800. And we sit back and we're satisfied with one or two. How could you be satisfied with just a little bit of love and not get it all? How could you be satisfied with just a part-time friendship? Part-time husband, part-time wife, part-time father, part-time mother. Either it's mother and father, either it's husband, wife, or they're not. Therefore, how can we have a negative confession when God has equipped us and has anointed us and has given us an assurance through the confession of His own Son, Jesus Christ our Lord? That is why we read in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God." How many of you, before you take a test, ask the Lord to help you with the test? Not just tests in school either. How about when you go through a test in your life? "If any of you lack wisdom, Father, how can I get out of this jam that I've gotten myself into? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven in the wind and tossed. For let not the man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord if he wavers." Well, Lord, I want this, you know, but... Well, I'm not really sure if I want it. Why should God give you something that you're not sure of, that you want? "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." And the words "double-minded" means that you are not single-focused, but you are one that cannot make up your mind. And that means that you're unstable. But notice his next words. James continues by saying, "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted." Huh? Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. But he's a brother of low degree. But he says, let the brother of low degree. In other words, all the circumstances point to the fact that you are of low degree. But he said, let him exalt. Let him rejoice in that he is exalted. You don't look at the lower degree. You look at the fact that you're exalted. Your brothers and sisters, your heirs of a kingdom. Notice his next few words. James continues by saying, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. In other words, even though your condition may be of low degree, even though your circumstances may not be so good, he says you should rejoice in that you have been exalted, and therefore your confession should be the opposite. It should be positive. Your confession should be the opposite of your circumstances. From the NIV translation, James 1 and 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think that he would receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. What's up is down in God's kingdom. Why take a negative confession when we have so many wonderful positive promises of God through Jesus Christ our Lord? Doubt shows a lack of trust, and to not trust God is to call God a liar. How many testimonies have I heard throughout the years from people who have accomplished much in certain areas of their life? It didn't matter if it was sports or people of great faith or whatever their career that they chose. I've heard time and time again from people who had great accomplishments in their life that they were able to achieve their goals and great achievements because their parents inspired them to set goals that were high and to achieve whatever they set their mind to be. My parents always told us, actually it came more from my mother, she always said, you can be anything you want to be. It depends on what you want is what you're going to get. My own parents used to tell me that. So I set my goals. I set my goals high. They said, set your goals high. Don't be satisfied with just mediocrity. Set your goals high that you can attain high. And how much more if we have a Father who is God and He tells us the same thing? For God's Spirit, writing through the Apostle Paul, tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. What do you think Samson did? Carried off I think it was something like 2 or 3 tons, that door in Gaza. A little pipsqueak of a man. But I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. And if you can do all things, then if you want to be the best at whatever you set your heart on, that is a promise of God right here in the Bible. You can be the best in whatever you set your heart on, because you have a promise that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Father, I want to be the best missionary, the best apostle that there's ever been. Father, I would like to be the best pastor that's ever been over any flock that you've had. I can do all things through Christ because He strengthens me. He gives me the courage and the strength to accomplish whatever I've set my heart to accomplish. Then you have no excuse for mediocrity. Mediocrity is not even in the Bible. It's not a Bible word. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 15 we read, but he that is spiritual judges all things. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Therefore, he that is spiritual judges all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. One of the all things I can do, I can judge all things. 1 Corinthians 3:21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Who cares about politics, fussing and fighting over who's going to run the country? Hey, I'm coming back to run the world as a king and priest of the Most High. How about you?
What's your confession?
1 Corinthians 6 and 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. In other words, I won't let those things, all things that I can do, because He strengtheneth me, I won't let them control me. I'll control them. 1 Corinthians 9:25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. In other words, he knows how to go about those things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. How many men, we have the Olympics going on right now, how many of those men and women set their minds out that they just were hoping to make it? Those aren't the ones that win. The ones that win are living and breathing and eating to win. They're there to win with no other purpose than to win. In 1 John 2 and 20, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Well, that anointing of God assures us that we will know all things. 1 John 2 and 27, but the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. Therefore, everything I have need of, everything I have to understand, comes from Him. What else is there? If it doesn't come from Him, it's really not necessary. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things. I can do all things because God giveth me the strength. Then I'm going to prove all things. And I'll hold fast those things which are good. 1 Timothy 3:11, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Faithful in all things. 1 Timothy 4:8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Godliness is profitable unto all things. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in certain riches, but in the living God, which giveth us richly all things to enjoy. I love the mountains. I love the rivers. I love the lakes. And God giveth those things to me, to you, to enjoy. Because God has given us all things to enjoy. 2 Corinthians 6 and 10. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Hallelujah. Notice the dichotomy. Poor, yet making others rich. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Not sorrowful and confessing that. Not poor and confessing that. But having a positive confession and possessing all things. 2 Peter 1 and 3. According as His divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Notice, as His divine power, His word, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life. What things do you have need of in life? They're given to you. Just reach out and take them. They're yours. 2 Timothy 2 and 10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, being able to endure all things, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. 2 Timothy 2 and 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. 2 Timothy 4 and 5. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Be watchful in all things. Look, God has given you all things. Therefore, be watchful. 3 John 1 and 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So above all things, it's God's desire that we be in good health. Confess it. Acts 10:39. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Notice, we are witnesses. That's why we understand all things. Acts 13:39. And by him all that believe are justified from all things. Wow, that's a pretty good one. You had some things hang you up. You're justified by all things through him. Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And Christ says, give me power over all things. Colossians 1:17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. How is it that we have power to do all things? Because he has power over all things, and by him all things consist. Therefore, it is in him we have power, because Christ gives me the power, he says. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Ephesians 1:22. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Ephesians 3:9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks for all things. Why? Because God has given me, he said that I can do all things in Christ. Because he's given me the power, he's given me the strength. I should be thankful. Hebrews 1:2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Heir of all things. What about you and I? Joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. That means you're joint heir in all things. Hebrews 1:3. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Hebrews 2:10. For it became him for whom all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, that's the opinion of God, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Notice, it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things. Letting us know again by where all things come. Hebrews 3:4. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. John 1:3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John 13:3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, he went to God. And John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. John 15:15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. And John 16:30, now are we sure that we know that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Look, if we are sons of God, and we have a promise that we can do all things by Jesus Christ, who gives you the strength to do it, then why aren't we confessing it? Why, when somebody else puts an obstacle in your way, does it let you down? You know, there's a verse in the book of Joel that we sing in a song. It says, let the weak say I'm strong. You know how it goes, you know, let the weak say I am strong, right? And we know that Joel is the book that foretells the Holy Spirit outpouring, or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon all flesh in this last hour. So this verse pertains to this hour. And in fact, Brother Branham from the Message, as I was with Moses, he ties that verse with not having a negative confession. He says, let him that is weak say, I am strong. See, just say in your heart that I am now strong. I have accepted Jesus as my healer and never have any negative testimony anymore. Just believe it. God is under obligation, or Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father to accept you, for He's sitting there, the high priest of your confession, to make good before the Father anything that He died for, that you're confessing that He done. There you are now. Divine healing cannot be any plainer than that. It's to the weakest. You do it. And remember, God's word will defeat Satan anywhere, any place, any time, and any condition. So as the weak say, I am strong, He said, and never have a negative testimony anymore. From the Message Law, Brother Bram said, now it's a strange thing that this is so much thought of people that they say, well, I'm weak. My faith is not very much. I'm not a very good Christian. That's just what the devil wants you to say. You're just talking his language right then, see? You must never say that. Don't never let your testimony be negative. Let it be positive all the time. I am saved. I have God in my heart. I believe Him with all my heart. Do you believe in divine healing? With all my heart. Let your testimony always, and your thoughts, everything, never permit a negative thought to come into your mind if you can help it. When it starts that, don't entertain it. Well, you say, I can't help the thoughts from coming. Well, that'll be like the farmer that said that he couldn't stop the birds from flying over his place, but he could sure stop them from roosting. So that's a good thing, you see. You can't help the thoughts when they come, but don't entertain them. Just pass it on. No, sir, Jesus Christ is my Savior. All things are mine by God, and I'm going to keep them. I'm going to testify of them. And God can only bless you as you confess that He has done it for you. See? He's the high priest of our confession. Is that right? Hebrews 3. He said that He's the high priest of our confession. He can only do it for us as we accept it and believe it and confess it. Oh, my. You know, God hates vacillators. God hates it when you say the gospel is yea and nay. He said it's yea. And vacillation doesn't show too much overcoming. Vacillation, wavering back and forth, doesn't show too much intelligence. You know, there's an old fella named Ole. He was married to a woman named Lena. And they were up there in Minnesota. And she asked him if she would go and check the Christmas lights to see if they're on. And Ole, he looked at them and he said, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. Well, she just about got stir crazy from that. Vacillating. How many times has a situation come up with you and you say, yes, like Ole, no, yes, no, yes, no, and you don't go nowhere, do you? Put your foot on the gas. Take your foot off the gas. Put your foot on the gas. Put your foot on the brake. Put your foot on the gas. Put your foot on the brake. You're going to drive your car crazy. You'll drive it into a heap. Don't you think you'll do the same in your own life? Now let me add that just because you believe it does not necessarily make it true, though. It must be what God has said about it. You can't become a son of God unless you were ordained to be a son of God. So get that out of your head that, you know, it's just we're just talking positive thinking. I'm not talking just positive thinking. I'm talking about having a positive confession of what God has said. In Mark 10 and verse 27, and Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is possible, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. In Mark 14, verse 36, and He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but what Thy will be done. Mark 9 and verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And Matthew 19, 26, for Jesus beheld them, and He said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. From the Message, Why It Had to Be Shepherds, Brother Bram said, you hear so much today about positive thinking. You just put your mind on anything and think it positive on it. Well, the devil can do that. There's only one thing that rules over here, and that's God's Word. If you're thinking contrary to the Word, forget your thinking. Think on the Word. Messiah, they thought, would not be found in such a place, a mess as that. Could you imagine a fine, great high priest or clergyman, all polished in theology, would come down to a stable full of manure and accept the message of a poor, humble shepherd that had no education, and would come and say, "See, I can prove it to you. This is the baby. This is the messenger." And you know what them people would have said? The man is honest. He's very sincere in what he's saying, but he's absolutely wrong. You see? From blind Bartimaeus, he said, "How can you have faith when you sit in these meetings?" Or how can you, there's a question mark, he says, "Your faith, when you sit in these meetings like this, where the great powers and miracles of God was being done, and the Holy Spirit moving, and the gospel being preached, how are you going to stand on a negative confession? Don't you want him to stand for you? When I see those gates open yonder, and I see that every sinner's got to go, and Jesus sat right here in the road, and I want him to plead my case, he's my attorney, I won't have to face the Father if he's facing him for me." Hallelujah. Hey, be quoting that. You want him to face him for you tonight? Would you stand, someone else, just before prayer? God has put your name on the book of life. As certainly as you're sincere in your heart, his words cannot fail. Now let's pray for those many who are standing. Either we have a lawyer, a advocate, or we don't. Either we have a blood that completely erases your sin, or we don't. What's your confession? Today it is, tomorrow it's not. Today it is, tomorrow it's not. Yes, no. Yes, no. Yes, no. Or is it your confession that all the promises of God are yea and amen? From the message, why, Brother Rand said, "Lord God, creator of heavens and earth, author of everlasting giver, or everlasting life, excuse me, giver of every good gift, forgive my sin of unbelief and give to me thy mercy. I believe in thee. I accept thee as my Savior, my only salvation. I need your strength for my health. I cannot go forward without you. I now accept you as my healer. I renounce the devil and all of his works. From this time henceforth, I will think positive. I will believe every promise. The scripture that says, 'By his stripes I was healed,' I now accept it. I believe it. It's mine. I thank you, Lord. I will continue testifying of my healing until I'm perfectly well. Now hold still. Keep your hands on one another now. Now, you pray. Now, shut yourself in with God. Going to see something happen now. All right, brethren, ministers, everybody, are you ready? Now, if God will hear my prayer here, he hears it anywhere. Now, you've prayed, you've made your confession, just like you would coming as a Christian. You're ready now. If you was a sinner, you're ready for baptism. Now, being that you're a Christian, you've made your confession, and now you're ready for healing. Now, what does it take? Do you realize in the book of, it's Deuteronomy, when they were getting ready to cross the Jordan, he says, now you're getting ready to cross the Jordan. Now, every step that you take will be yours. Go in and possess it. Every step that you take, every promise of God that's in this word that you give back to God, it's yours for the taking. Do you want it? Yes. No. Yes. No. You're not going to get it that way. Every promise of the word of God, every promise of God is yea and amen. From works that I do bear witness. Brother Ramson, now healing is not something that you just say, "Well, I believe it. Now, that's all right. If that's the best that you can do, just mentally, or just say, well, I see it. I believe that. I accept it." But then if you accept it on those bases, keep saying it over and over. Say it out loud. Say it over and over. Just keep saying, "I'm healed. I'm healed." Say it until you actually believe it. And when you believe it, then it's going to take place. Don't have a negative testimony. Every time when you confess, "Well, I still feel bad today, I guess," you go right straight back in the same rut that you was in the beginning. There's not a man or a woman in here that is baptized with the Holy Spirit that would start your confession, "I believe I've lost the Holy Spirit. I believe it's gone from me. I believe," you'll go right down. You can't do that. Even Hillary Clinton had enough sense to say, "Fake it until you make it." Now there's truth to that. Brother Branham said, you keep saying it, you keep confessing it until you finally do believe it. Don't let the devil take that from you. 2 John 1 and verse 8. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, that we've worked for, those things which you have worked so hard to obtain, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses, that means to go beyond the limits and abideth not, or is not at rest in the doctrine of Christ, he hath not God. But he that abideth in, he remains in, and does not vacillate in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you that believe not this doctrine, receive not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his deeds, his evil deeds. Now this is the major problem that we all face. We vacillate between two opinions constantly. Remember, Joshua stood there and he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He said, you choose this day whom you're going to serve. But as for me, as for my house, we will serve the Lord. No vacillating with that man. He's going in to take it. Caleb said, we're more than able to take it. The ten spies said, oh, you know, the grapes were big. And all the things that you saw, just exactly like you said, they were big. But there was also some big giants. And Caleb said, what are they to us? If God said, it's ours, it's ours. Who are you going to believe, God or the giants? And this is the major problem that we all face. We vacillate between two opinions constantly. Now remember, the two opinions are not one which believes the word and one which does not believe the word, but one that believes all the word and the other only part of the word. Our downfall is that somehow we believe some of the word just doesn't apply to me or to you. And what kind of an attitude we can... what kind of an attitude we can... if we cannot receive the blessings of God God has given to us. It's a negative attitude. It's those dark stones in that glass of water that have to be plucked out so that more of the Spirit, more of the water can be filled that jar. In James 1, verse 2 to 8, he says, you can't vacillate in your faith. You've got to be sure. If God says so, how can you doubt it? In Romans 14, 22, he says, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God, in the presence of God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, but whatsoever is not of faith is sin, and sin is unbelief. So God told Joshua and the people in Joshua 1 and verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not thou from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Did he not say, I will be with thee until the consummation? I have not left thee comfortless. I will be with you. What are you worried about? We know in Deuteronomy 28, in verse 1 to 48, the very same thing that God blesses you in can also become your curse. It all depends on your confession. The attitude that you take toward the word will either open up the fountains of blessings or close shut that same fountain. You cannot halt between two opinions. From the message, look, Brother Branham said, but focus out of you all of the doubt. Look only to that word. It promised it. God said so. It's got to be that way. The Bible said, against hope he believed in hope. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong, giving praise to God. Each day he got stronger because the miracle would be greater. Instead of us, you know what we do. Oh man, I thought maybe it could have happened yesterday because it looked like things were happening. All the circumstances were starting to line up, but today it doesn't look that way, so maybe it's not God's will. That your confession? Your confession should be as Abraham. Abraham, as he got older and older and older, at 100 years old, he said, praise God, we're going to have that baby. You know why? Because I'm getting older. And someday I'm going to be gone, and I'm going to have that baby between now and when I'm gone, because God promised it. Hallelujah. Amen. Against hope, he believed in hope. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong, giving praise to God. And each day he got stronger because the miracle would be greater. So you've got to doubt your doubts. Brother Bosworth always said that. Doubt your doubts. If you're going to doubt anything, doubt your doubts. You can't look at the circumstances and the Word of God at the same time. You've got to either look at one or the other. And why choose the circumstances? Choose God's Word and be blessed. Finally, from Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Jesus said, if your eyes be single, the body will be full of light. Not if you have only one eye, but if your sight is focused in on one treasure. Not two or more. But if your single-heartedness or your singleness of heart is to focus upon the one true and living God, then your purpose of life will also be one. So don't focus upon anything outside of this word. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? And all things shall be added unto you. And Paul said, I can do all things. I can do all things because he giveth me the strength. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, that just pray, Father, that you'd help us to have a positive confession. Knowing, Father, that you yourself have come down in this hour, the great God, the author and finisher of our faith, not only our faith, but the creator of this world. That you have come down, Father, you spoke squirrels into existence to show us, Father, that all things are possible with you. Even the great motto of this state is all things are possible with God. With God, all things are possible. So, Father, may we truly who live in this state confess that motto. And, Lord, to believe that with you, Father, all things are possible. Help us then to confess, to have a positive confession. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So, point number 9. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea and amen.